It will quite possibly be one of the most consequential ballot proposals we will ever be asked to decide. Talking about Proposal 3, we've had some great discussions with you, our listeners, already about this. But there are a lot, so many unanswered questions. And quite frankly, even after the vote is taken, there may be a lot of work left to do. I wanted to speak to that with our good friend Senator Mike Shirky, Republican of Clark Lake, the majority leader in the Senate, as he brings his legislative career in for a smooth landing here. Senator, good to have you with us.
96 days left, my friend. 96 days left.
And I know you're savoring every one of them. Hopefully it doesn't just feel like a survival flight. You know that we so appreciate the service that you've given this state over these many years, from the Medicaid responsibility proposal you put forth and so many things that were so well thought out. You've got a wonderful legacy. You've been speaking about Prop 3, and you, like many, have said, look, it's not anything that I would probably vote for, but even if I were inclined to support abortion rights, this would still be deeply flawed. Is it flawed beyond redemption?
I believe it is. And the reason for it, it'd be one thing, Guy, if this were a citizen-initiated law and it went into statute. And then now you still there, Guy?
Yes, I am. I'm just trying to kill the crowd noise because I want to make sure I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, you're very good. Because then if it's in statute, then the representatives of the people, the legislature, can affect it, can debate it, can propose alterations to it, et cetera. But the way this is being done, putting it into our Constitution, it is very, in my mind, I call it dangerous. I call it dangerous because, first of all, the 400 words have a lot of ambiguities to them. And there's lots of room for interpretation. I've had two different law firms look at it for me. And then the second part about it is it's so doggone extreme. I mean, here's how I view things. And I'm kind of an engineer, you know, that's my training. So I look at things often as a part of a spectrum. And we're all on the spectrum. I'm on the spectrum of life. I'm all here to the end where I believe life starts at conception. Not everybody believes that. I get that. I think the science is behind that, and I'll defend it. But I get the fact that that's my position, not everybody's position. Then there are others who can't define that and would allow, you know, abortions to occur clear out up until the day before delivery, for that matter. But here's the deal. I have a lot of very close friends who tend to be more pro-choice than I am. And when we talk about this and I identify all the ambiguities and all the extreme features of it, they just simply say, I'm still pro-choice, but I can't vote for this because it's just too extreme. And once people are fully informed, this thing is really problematic.
Well, and the Citizens Research Council, we had Eric Lufer on, and there are costs to every decision. There will be a cost to defeating this as well, because there are many who feel that the 1931 law does desperately need updating, that protections for the life of the mother, for instance, the wording of it is considered vague. That could have a chilling effect on doctors and them doing the right thing for their patients. So would you be open to updating that law once this is defeated? And what would that look like?
So I'm afraid that I can opine and speculate on what I would hoped would happen, but I'm sure that's all would happen post my service. And once it's in the Constitution, then the legislature has limited opportunities to make changes. Because, first of all, to make changes, you have to have two-thirds vote in both, or three-fourths vote. I'm not one of those two. In both chambers, and then, you know, so it is really, really difficult to make changes, and that's why I think it's so dangerous.
Well, and let me ask you about that, because I kind of feel like it, for Republicans, you're looking down the barrel of a gun here, that, you know, you're going to work to defeat this, but if you don't defeat it, there's not going to be much you can do about it. So why not nullify this ballot proposal now, by legislatively attacking it, acknowledge where the majority of Michigan voters are, that they want at least some form of abortion rights statutorily guaranteed, if not constitutionally, and say we will permit it, and we're going to set a 15-week cutoff. We're going to try to do something reasonable here so that we're not left with an unreasonable, vague, constitutionally unchangeable, irretrievably, irrevocably changed constitution.
Well, I'm going to let you answer your own question. let's pretend for a moment that we put something like that together and got it through two chambers. You know, it would be so limited compared to Proposal 3. What do you think the chances are of getting a governor's signature?
You know, well, that the calculation becomes of whether or not you're willing to take that risk and whether a half a loaf is better than none. And at least from my thinking, from a political standpoint, let's say she doesn't sign it, but you've put that out there. Wouldn't that put both the Republican Party in a better circumstance politically? And wouldn't you at least have made the attempt to nullify that?
Well, then we got to go back to the original conversation we started, and that is on the spectrum of when does life begin. You know, the moment I believe in the legislative process, and I believe in, you know, good, robust debate, and in some cases, compromise are necessary. But when you jump from where I believe life begins at conception to an arbitrary number of weeks, then I have lost my argument on when does life begin. And so there is no winning here. This was purposely engineered as it is, and we have only one option, and that is to defeat it and then let the process play out and take a look at whatever laws are in place. By the way, abortion's not illegal in Michigan, and the 1931 law is not even in effect right now because the judge has put a stay on it. And so all the fear-mongering that's going on with those who are supporting Proposal 3, at the very least, is disingenuous, and frankly, I call it just flat-out lying.
Okay. I know that you have been very clear and were supportive in the past of allowing clerks to do some processing of absentee ballots a day or two ahead of the election to allow this for a more efficient process so that results aren't delayed, because that can lead to a lack of confidence, suspicion, skepticism, things like that. Are you working, and will the legislature be offering a remedy to clerks, giving them extra time in the next few days? I know you've got limited numbers of sessions.
From your lips to God's ears, yes, there's a lot of energy being put into this discussion. I can share openly that there's been strong engagement with both the Senate, the House, and the administration. And I'm hoping, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, saying my prayers, that we can come to an agreement so that we can get something passed that'll be effective for this coming election. And yes, I believe that is a reasonable thing for clerks to be able to do, especially with the onslaught of absentee ballots because of how we changed the Constitution to allow no reason absentees. And it's going to continue to grow until a very large numbers of people are going to be using it legally as a way to vote. So I'm hoping we can get something done. Yes.
And I know you're also working with members of your party to get some election security enhancements into that bill as well, in addition to allowing them to start early. Things like surveillance on drop boxes and things like that to give added confidence to the process. Senator Shirky, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And hopefully between now and the next 96 days, we'll speak a few more times.
I hope so, Guy. Thank you very much.
All right. Senator Mike Shirky at 358 on News Talk 760.